Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
When you're down and trouble.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. 800-531-3815, toll-free. Coast to Coast. Barbara Moses is our guest. She's back with us, and Barbara is the president of BBM Human Resources Consultants, Human Resource Consultants Incorporated, and she has huge clients all over the world and some small clients, I'm sure. Many of you have seen her on television. She's appeared on a number of different shows. She's the author of a couple of books, including the one I'm holding in my hand, which is called What Next? The Complete Guide to Taking Control of Your Working Life. Barbara, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
I made a statement earlier in the hour before you got here, Barbara. I said that the 21st century hasn't changed from the 20th century in the fact that we have human beings working in the workplace and producing things, but it has changed significantly from the 20th century in terms of the tools that we use and how we think about why we're in the workplace, why we're doing what we do, what and how we think about our future. Would you agree with that?
I think that's very perceptive. I think people up until 15 or 20 years ago didn't think about work and expect work and think about the nature of their relationship with their employer in the way they do today. 15 or 20 years ago, you were maybe working 40 hours a week, your job was relatively secure. You wouldn't ask yourself, why am I working so hard? You wouldn't ask yourself, is this effort-reward equation safe? You wouldn't ask yourself, is this job secure, or what do I need to do to ensure my employability? Today, all the bets are off. Today, people are working 80 hours a week, so they say, if I'm going to kill myself, then I need to make sure my work is meeting my needs, that it's not only providing for me economically, but it meets other needs. For example, small business owners, many of them are refugees from the corporate world who either decided, if I'm going to kill myself, I may as well be the beneficiary of my efforts, or they may have told themselves things like, I want to have flexibility, I want to be able to better balance my work and personal life, or they may have lost their job and thought, that's it. Never again will I ever be dependent on someone else's whims.
Barbara, that happened to me twice in the 1980s. And after the second time, I said, you know what, and my audience has heard me say this many times before, I said, I don't need any help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself.
That's very good, yeah.
And so, yeah, you're exactly right. What you're saying is that when I first came into the marketplace, those many years ago, the people around me, the people who were ahead of me, so to speak, I didn't hear them talking about their job as fulfillment, getting their job as something that they, as I didn't hear this that much. If I heard it, maybe I didn't recognize it, where their job was how they fulfilled themselves and how they defined themselves really as a human being. And today people are looking for their work, whether that be ownership or employment, they're looking for that to contribute some fulfillment and some joy in their life, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, people always wanted to feel good about what they did, but they didn't ask themselves routinely, is my work a source of joy or satisfaction? Because as long as it was pleasant, as long as you had your social needs met, as long as you made money, then it was okay. If work became bad 20 years ago, people would be unhappy. But even then, they'd say, well, better the devil you know, or that's the way it goes, or you mm-hmm. shouldn't expect too much from work. And at least I'm working with nice people, or, I'm well paid for this. So it only was when it got really hideous that people would become unhappy. Mm-hmm. Whereas today, it's more than this job is hideous, I can't stand it. It's a positive statement of this work is not meeting my needs. And I think also the fact that work is so insecure today, people are very nervous about their ability to look after themselves economically.
Well, I want to come back to that point that just for a second, Barbara, that you just mentioned. That's the second time you've mentioned the idea of job security, even though I don't think you use exactly those words. Job security has always been an illusion.
Absolutely.
It's only been in the last 20 years, maybe as far back as 25 years, and actually 28 years, because I mark the point in which the illusion started becoming clearer about 1975. Some things that happened. That was the end of a pretty bad recession
mm-hmm.
that we had in the 70s, and so from that moment on, job security, which was always truly an illusion, even though it was less of an illusion in the 20th century than it is now, that's when it became obvious to more and more people that they were going to have to pay more attention to themselves. They were going to have to be more self-determined and not count on the big company to take care of them.
I agree. I think it was in the late 70s, because I remember writing something in the late 70s. It was just when I'd entered this field, just fresh graduate. Oh, actually, I hadn't graduated yet. That was when I started to write about people needing to take responsibility for planning and managing their careers. That said, I would argue that it wasn't until the early, mid-90s that people started to take job insecurity as a fact of life. I mean, throughout the 80s, even though there were massive downsizings and restructurings, people still acted shocked when they were the victim of such an activity.
Well, it was still rolling through the marketplace. In other words, there were companies who did it, who downsized and right-sized and you know, all that sort of thing in the 70s. But what you're saying is, I think what I remember was that it was all way into the early 90s before it got through to a lot of the companies. Many of them held out as long as they could.
That's right. I mean, there are still people who I talk to today who do not accept it as a fact of life that you always need, metaphorically, to have your resume in your back pocket.
Right. I mean,
today, everyone has to have the mindset, whether they're self-employed or working for someone else, they have to have the mindset of a temporary worker. You know, that here today, gone tomorrow. Your skills have to be up to date. You're only as good as your last hit. You better
Barbara,
have money in the bank.
Hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we're gonna pull all this together for what this means for you and me as small business owners and for our employees right after this message. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. Barbara Moses is our guest. Her book is called What Next? The Complete Guide to Taking Control of Your Working Life. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815. And my website is jbsba.com, www.jbsba.com. Barbara Moses is our guest, Dr. Barbara Moses, the author of What Next? And Barbara, tell us give us your website and tell us where your books are available, please.
My book is available everywhere. And, by the way, it's received astonishing reviews. I mean, people just say it's in a class by itself. Whether they're self-employed or they've got kids who are saying, what next? Or their business is having difficulty or they're thinking about self-employment. And my website is www.bbmcareerdev.com.
Okay.
BBMcareerdev is in careerdevelopment.com.
And by the way, folks, this is a beautiful color, printed in color, and I'm a publisher, as you know, folks, and I don't know how she's distributing this book for this price. This is a steal in terms of the quality of the book, the quality of the content, and the price.
Well, that's very perceptive. I mean, I did not produce it. The publisher spent, whereas a normal book, as you know, you buy a book hardcover, costs about $20,000 to produce a book. This book costs multiples of six figures.
Oh yeah, and yet the book in the U.S. is, if I'm not mistaken, is about $20, and
maybe it's unbelievable.
Even less than that at the discounters.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a lot of information and a lot of quality for the money, folks. So check that out when you get a chance. What Next by Dr. Barbara Moses. Barbara, the truth is in the marketplace over the last 100 years, the only thing that really has changed are the evolution of the tools that we use. But in the end of the 20th century, the tools really ramped up. And I'm going to say that the thing that really helped people realize that this tether that they were coming, being untethered, I should say, from the major corporations, wasn't going to be such a bad thing because we've got all this technology. And literally, I am an example of somebody who is doing what he's doing because of the availability of technology to small business owners, the power of technology. And that's really given people a new lease on life in their careers, hasn't it?
I think it's a yes and no. I would say for some people, it's liberated them because, for example, you may have said, the tools that I need are basically my brain and then the capacity to interact with people, and so that's the technology. So you do it with words, mm-hmm. on the internet, whatever. But if you're someone whose work, if you're someone, as you know, my book, I have 8 motivational types. So if you're someone who's motivated by desire to be with other people or lifestyle, that is the ability to balance your work and personal life, then you can find those tools either irrelevant or oppressive. I mean, a lot of small business owners, for example, resent all the administrative work that they have to do. If they own a store, it may be their major motivation is they really enjoy providing a service for people, or they really enjoy the kind of relationships they develop with clients.
But
customers.
The fact is, those administrative things have to be done, and 20 years ago, it was a major laborious process. Today, with the technology that we have, it's the kind of thing that takes about a much smaller portion of our time.
That's
and
true.
So it makes being self-determined, being able to have self-determination, running our own businesses, it makes that more possible.
It makes it easier in some ways, but in another sense is 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they may have hired someone else to help them.
Right.
Because they can do it themselves, they don't have the bookkeeper.
Right.
So, they don't need the bookkeeper, but that has both a positive and a negative.
But see, now we come back to what you said earlier in the hour, and that was that they're working 80 hours a week, but here's the thing, they love it.
Well, I think some people love it. I think there are a lot of people who don't love it.
But let me put it this way, folks, if you don't love your work, if you're a small business owner, you need to go get a job.
Well, I think a lot of people who are working in small business, I mean, some have chosen to do it, but some are doing it by virtue of the fact that they may be older workers, have been discriminated against by virtue of their age in the workplace, have set up their own business, but their business is tough, it's challenging, they're barely making a living. And I know a lot of people like that.
Well, one of the myths is that when you start a small business owner, when you become a small business owner, you become rich. That is a myth. There's no question. It's not a myth. I guess it's just something that people tell themselves or that they believe. And the truth is that most small business owners make a decent living and they don't get rich. And that's fine. But the thing is that the way the workplace is changing is not only changing the way owners think about themselves, it's changing the way our employees think, Barbara. And that's another thing that we've got to focus on, is that the workers that we have available to us right now have a different attitude than they did 20 years ago, don't they?
Absolutely. Many of them have a sense, depending on the kind of work they're doing, but if they're skilled workers, that is, they're knowledge workers, they have university degrees, then they know that they can sell their skills. They have the mindset of a temporary worker. And so what they're basically going to say, particularly when the economy turns around, is, what I'm selling you are my skills, and in return, I expect you to acknowledge the fact that I've got a right to work-life balance, I've got a right to be developed, that work should not become the centerpiece of my identity, and if my work is not meeting my needs, I'm going to vote with my feet.
Mm-hmm. Because I no longer have the illusion that I'm only going to work for one company the rest of my life.
Well, exactly. So yeah. I see myself as a contract worker, a temporary worker, even though I have a job.
Barbara, I've got to stop you. We're going to have to continue this in our next visit. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Barbara Moses, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called What Next? I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back with Russell Brown. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.